Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am proud to be your host. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully, you have power where you are if you're listening on one of our terrestrial stations on the AM or the FM dial. We are grid down here at the Redoubt Ranch, and we are broadcasting on battery backup and generator power, and we've got some type of that haunting rushing noise sneaking up on us again. So we're going to try to get that under control. What is up with that? I don't know. It's always something, isn't it? Okay. Now, this is what I want to I almost didn't do a show today. I thought, you know what? We're grid down. We've got all the stuff we're dealing with and, you know, so many things that can go wrong. Maybe I shouldn't do a show. Maybe we should just re-air something. And I thought, hold on. This is Radio Free Redoubt. What was I thinking? This is the voice in times of distress that should be booming out over the airwaves. Not when things are good, when things aren't so good. That voice of hope, reason, direction, and patriotic, God-fearing influence in our lives that we need, we cannot not be on the air. It's just that simple. So I said, I'm going to have to overcome this little thought that I almost succumbed to. We are grid down, and you know what? In a real-world disaster, catastrophic situation, we will be on the air, whether it's Amron, the Amron Emergency Radio Operators Network with Amron operators, 2,500 and more of them across the United States that will be on the air. I'm going to be talking about that. What happened this week? I'm going to be sharing our experiences at the Redoubt Ranch and the Underground Studio and several of our other friends and family and listeners who've shared their experiences going through this little – it's a real-world situation. The grid is down. There's people without power, and there's people that are suffering because of it, just because we're going on 4 days of no power, along with tens of thousands of other people. So there's some lessons to be learned here, and we got to put some of our preps to the test and have identified some shortcomings. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And if you guys want to weigh in after the half hour, you know, when we switch over to exclusively KTW on AM 630, if you want to call in, the number is 1-877-999-7684, 1-877-999-7684. If you want to share your stories, but I'm going to share ours, what we've gone through, and pass those lessons learned on to you guys. And I will be putting a posting up with pics and also some links to some of the things that many listeners have asked about, you know, like the LED light strips that we used, very low power consumption, very bright, just brightened everything up. And I just ran those off a battery for, you know, days on end. They're just amazing. So people are saying, where can I get mine? So I'll be putting postings up for you guys to share that with you. Hopefully you not listening in the dark, hours returned, but if you are, just sit back. This is like the old days when they sat back with the oil lamp and listened to the radio. That's how it was. Or you can go back further with the Little House on the Prairie days. That's what it's been like around our house. It's been a lot of fun. But we're going to get into the news and commentary first because there's so much going on in our region and around the world. We're going to talk about the news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate. and the 299 Days book series. Button didn't want to work there, didn't want to respond. You can't, it wouldn't be news and commentary without the little Morse code, ding, 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 ding. This is, I mean, that's trademark. That's our signature. In international news, we know there's been multiple terror attacks all across the world with threats of more. Brussels is now on a terror alert, and the United States has issued warnings to Americans who are abroad, especially right now in Brussels. They're warning of imminent attacks as restaurants and cafes are ordered to shut down early. They're going to be closed by 6 p.m. They're saying this is something that is – this attack is already in motion. It hasn't been carried out yet, but – there is very strong intelligence indicating that it's not a possible event. It's a highly probable event. So they're hoping to avert that by the citizens responding, not providing a soft target for the enemy, the Islamist, jihadist, ISIS-influenced murderers. But it was kind of interesting last week. It was Monday. Right after the Paris attacks, the following weekend, we see France's constitution needs to be amended to make it safer. This is what happened on November 16th. President Francois Hollande, or Hollande, says France's constitution needed to be amended to better deal with the crisis situations as he addressed both houses of parliament in Versailles. This is a very, very dangerous precedent that they are trying to push. And this is one that we should fear as liberty-loving patriots, that when the pesky old darn inconvenient constitution gets in the way of the government from being able to do its job, first of all, they created this problem. They blew their borders wide open. It was only after they were under attack that they ordered the borders closed. Too late. So now the response has to be, we need to change and amend the Constitution. Don't think for a minute that the rest of the governments in the Western world haven't already been having this discussion, not to mention this so patriotic administration that we have here, the America-loving administration. So be on your guard against this. We must sweep these constitutional restrictions to the side just temporarily until we can get through this crisis. They won't be temporary. Just like all of these executive orders that Obama has in place to seize power, to sweep the Constitution to the side in case of a major catastrophic event, those are not temporary. At least not for a long time, temporary. They'd be permanent for part of a generation. So they are dealing with a very real threat, but it is a threat that's presented itself only after they've fomented and nurtured the situation into fruition. They're saying over there in Brussels right now, the water supply is heavily guarded right now. It's a very tense situation all across Europe, and they brought it on themselves. But you cannot reason with these people. There we are. Now, let's go over to – here's something very interesting. AP News is reporting out of Iran – thousands of paramilitary forces from the country's powerful Revolutionary Guard have held a war game simulating the capture of Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque from Israel control. They built a mock-up of this mosque in Jerusalem and practiced hitting it. Iran state media reported Saturday the forces stormed and liberated a replica of the mosque in the exercise, and they said that 120 brigades from the Basij, the military unit of the Guard, participated in Friday's exercise outside the holy city of Qom in central Iran. Very symbolic And this is a pretty powerful message to send to Israel. We are planning to take targets and locations on your turf. Pretty spooky. Online hacker group Anonymous and ISIS have been sparring over the internet, declaring war on each other, each claiming that it will take the other one down, exposing their identities and their operations. And Anonymous claims that ISIS is planning an imminent attack on U.S. soil tomorrow, Sunday, November 22nd. This is very interesting, what's happening between these two groups. And Anonymous apparently is publishing an ISIS hit list after they hacked into the terror network. And ISIS is basically saying they're Anonymous now has a target on its back. And Anonymous is saying, we don't care. You've got a target on you and we're coming after you. So this could get – this is get whole, really interesting. A whole new dimension in warfare, cyber warfare against non-nation states. Isn't that something? And the FBI is saying that the officials are taking this report about this ISIS threat seriously, which is apparently threatening the Phillips Arena. The hacker group Anonymous said Saturday it had uncovered information about Islamic State group attacks in Paris, as well as the locations in the U.S. They said the Islamic State group is planning an assault at the WWE Survivor Series event scheduled to take place in the Phillips Arena in Atlanta tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as well as attacks at multiple events in Paris. Now let's switch gears from the war on Islamic extremists. 14 inches of snow have dumped on Sioux Falls. The inland Pacific Northwest is not the only place that is faced with their own natural disaster. They're buried. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. There's a lot more news and commentary right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Number three on our list of obligations is to understand socialism and all the cunning disguises in which it presents itself to the American people. Our fourth obligation is to understand propaganda techniques as used by both the communist and the socialist. This is a very vitally important need. Thousands of good, loyal Americans have been duped into actually aiding the communist simply because they did not look carefully before they joined some high-sounding venture or before they more or less blindly advocated some course of action.
Thank you for sticking around here. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. My name is your name, too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. Segment 2 is brought to you by Works.com. It is an American-based holster and magazine carrier, Kydex Holster Company, and you can visit them at www.werkz.com to help you with your tactical needs. And there's great outfit, great patriot-owned business, and support them. God-fearing patriots over there with a great product. I have a Works holster for my Glock 30, my everyday carry, and I love it. Good quality stuff. Now, as before we went into the break, I wanted to wrap up a couple of other stories before we talk about some of the other things that I wanted to get into. And this comes from the latest edition of the Chronicles of the Death of America category. California middle school, this is just another. We need to keep pointing this out every time this happens. This is not an isolated event. In a California middle school makes kids sing about spreading Islam. Parents in Orange County, of course, that's occupied territory. Look, get out. I mean, if you're a God-fearing patriot and you're still in Orange County, you're either on a campaign with a higher purpose and you're in the fight, or if you're not, get out. But parents in Orange County are outraged after seventh graders were asked to sing a song about spreading Islam in class. A social studies teacher at Springview Middle School gave students an ode to Islam to sing, set to the tune of Rachel Platten's fight song. But instead, the chorus goes, "This is their fight song, spread Islam now song, prove that they're right song." Other parts of the song declares that they don't really care if no Jews or Christians believe and Islam Allah's on the way. And parents were upset, to say the least, saying, one parent said, "I believe that by singing this song, the children feel comfortable believing that maybe Allah is the only God and maybe that they should start following him," this parent told CBS Los Angeles. And the parent said, "And that I'm not okay with." Of course, you know, in L.A., I mean, that whole area, it is so left-leaning. Anybody saying any one God is going to be offensive to the majority of the people living in that area, you know, because they're upset because this is Islam. But I mean, when it comes to Christianity, to say Christ is the only way, nobody comes to the Father except through him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's that same parent would probably be all upset about that too. Wouldn't they? I mean, I don't know this parent. I don't know. But this is a very common theme that we see. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to be talking about – well, we started talking about encryption, how this encryption issue with these terrorists in Paris – what they're saying is, oh, the encryption, it must have been encryption. We need to do something about encryption. And of course, all of us patriots that are, you know, we want, you know, security, privacy, and use encryption often. We're thinking, oh boy, here we go. They're setting the stage, right? And they are. But see, the law enforcement agencies now, the law enforcement community are saying, because of the encryption, because of our inability to read these people's conversations, we need to develop stronger informant networks. Now, that's fine if you're fighting, you know, jihadists, but is our government declaring to be the extremist threat? It's the right-wing extremists. That's what they're setting the stage for as the enemy. That's the boogeyman that our government says is the biggest threat to national security, is right-wing extremism, not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, not cartels, but right-wing extremists. So when they say we need to fight extremism and this encryption is causing a problem for us, don't think that they're not coming for you, liberty-minded patriot, who wants your communications with the people you know and love to remain private. But here's an article that was just sent to me. This came out at techdirt.com. After endless demonization of encryption, police find Paris attackers coordinated via unencrypted SMS, you know, texting. In the wake of the tragic events in Paris last week, encryption has continued to be a useful boogeyman for those with a voracious appetite for surveillance expansion. So this is a good article. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night as it ties in with their desire to develop stronger, more powerful, more far-reaching informant networks, just like we've seen before in history. And I'm going to talk about some of those examples, one of which might come to mind immediately for many of you is the Stasi, the East German police. But couldn't it be that government – in this case, simply failed? I mean, look at the billions of dollars spent by our governments, liberty snatched up, and power granted to the government in the name of keeping us safe. It's all necessary because of the bad guy. We have to keep you safe. All these measures that take more and more liberty from you are necessary because of, you know, terrorism. But what happens with all that money and all that effort and all the power that the government's given to itself, a terror attack like what happened in Paris still happens? How is that possible? Well, they need a scapegoat. It must be because they had encryption. But now we're finding out that these stories are being debunked, that they're using Sony PlayStation chat, encrypted chat to talk to each other. They're saying that's been bunked. That's been debunked. Not true. So what is the truth? We don't know sometimes. But we have to fight for liberty. Liberty has to survive through this. But it has to be liberty in the right way too, with the right heart. And I want to talk about that after the break. When we come back, we're going to be on, you know, KTW 630 AM exclusively. So switch over. You can go to radiofreeredoubt.com, click on the listen now banner off to the side, and there's how you can listen to the live streaming if you're outside of AM 630 coverage area, which covers, you know, the greater Spokane area, North Idaho, Kootenai County. But the bad guys slipped right under their noses. And now we're starting to see that it wasn't actually encryption that they were using to coordinate. They were doing it right out in the open in text. So how could they miss it? They need a scapegoat. And that's encryption. And now that we're finding out that it didn't play out how they said it was, it's not going to change their argument. They're going to continue to come after secure, private, encrypted communications among the citizenry, especially right-wing extremists, right? I believe that, well, as the founding fathers did, I will take the risk of living as a free Christian patriot with liberty as opposed to the security that the government is promising through these measures that they say are necessary to keep us safe. I would rather live dangerously and free than safe and under somebody's boot. I think God built that into us. That's why Jesus made us free. Why is that such a big selling point for Jesus to set us free? Well, I don't care about being free. I just want to be safe. Matter of fact, if I'm free, that's kind of dangerous. This means things can happen to me. But I don't know. We're just built. That's just built into us, isn't it? To be free, that desire. And that's what Christ said he was going to do, set us free. Why is that such a selling point? Because he built that into us to desire freedom. That's a whole nother lesson. That's a whole nother thing that we can, you know, and I don't have time to get into exactly, you know, everything that I wanted to on this. Before I go into, I made a mistake last week. This is something that it's kind of spooky, really, when you have a microphone and you're laying it out there. You're responsible. I will be held accountable for my words one day. That scares me. That responsibility should not be taken lightly by anybody who has any kind of influence. And this is what I struggle with. I don't want the influence. I don't want to influence. This is how it started out. I just see the world going sideways and I see people pointing out problems, but not offering solutions. And I had some ideas. And that's when I started the podcast 5 years ago. This is how I feel. This is what I see. These are some solutions that I think we should be considering. There's one guy with a microphone just venting, just saying, this is what's on my heart, guys. And it resonated. It's just taken off since. Now we possibly have a sponsor to sponsor the other half hour on ACN. So we're looking forward to that. Remember, this is a listener supported show. Without you guys stepping forward, you can email the station all you want. You can email me, but look, I don't have, I'm a poor patriot. So you guys are going to have to step up to help get that done. But back to what I was saying, bright, shiny thing, squirrel. When I am fearful, I'm nervous. I tremble, if you will, every time I get in front of the microphone because of the responsibility that comes with that. That's not lost on me. But last week I said something I messed up, and I'm going to fix it right after the break. I'm going to talk about that because it was in the second segment. I was talking about judges in the book of Judges when the people did what was right in their own eyes. And I didn't finish my thought. It sounded like, well, that's a good thing. And then I moved on and I didn't wrap that up. And somebody called me on it. Thank you very much. I need accountability. And there's a God-fearing patriot out there that corrected me out of love, and it was awesome. Okay, I'm going to talk about that when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt. God bless all of you. We'll see you over on AM 630.
Greetings, patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
We're back. Thank you so much for being out there, and thank you for joining us. My name is your name too. John Jacob Schmidt, all the John Jacob Schmidts out there. We're exclusively on AM 630 KTW out of Spokane right now, and I want to welcome all of our listeners out there in occupied territory outside the wire. Be encouraged, people. You're not alone. In your thoughts and in your head and the things that you're seeing, the things that you're frustrated about, And I want to remind you not to put your hope in man, any man. When you're frustrated over the things that your elected officials, your representatives, the people in your community, things like that do, and they spin out, don't be looking. You shouldn't be looking to them anyway. You should be holding, lifting them up in prayer. You should keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes on him, the king. And it's all going to play out for his glory. Ask for what your role is in that, in these challenging times that we have. Don't be fearful. I mean, there's things that we should be afraid of. We should be afraid of our government's policies and what that would do to our country. How many examples of men in the Bible lamented over the state of their country, what their fellow countrymen were doing to Israel that they knew was going to cast them into bondage, and they grieved, right? They grieved for their nation. They grieved for their people. They feared the consequences, and that's what we are faced with, the consequences of the decisions of people who have allowed themselves to become deceived in our country, even among the church. how many people are saying, you know, this Islam thing, we should embrace them. We should open up our borders. We should bring them in. We should. These people are out of touch with reality, and they're not following current events. So we need to strive for liberty, and we have to be – and this is where John Adams said our Constitution was only made for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for governing any other people. And that's what brought me to this, what I was talking about last week. In the book of Judges, where these people lived and they did what was right in their own eyes. I'm going to play audio file for you, and then I'm going to finish my thought that I didn't last week. I felt bad. I was like, that's not what I meant. I mean, what I meant was, this is what I said. It's about 2 minutes. I'm going to play this back for you. So just sit back and take a listen. If it'll play, it should play. Now, there is an example, an exception. In Judges chapter 17, it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. What? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Hey, that's what libertarians are talking about. That's what they're trying to get. Look, everyone just does what's right in his own eyes. We have full liberty. Nobody tells us what to do. That's great. As long as you have God-fearing people. But when you don't have God-fearing people doing righteousness, you're going to have a problem. The only way that they were able to do the things that was right in their own eyes with no king and still live in freedom and liberty was because they were God-fearing people. You take that out of the equation, you are going to be under somebody's boot, because it will descend into chaos and the people will demand peace. Somebody do something with this riot. Somebody do something with this chaos. And somebody will rise up and they will bring a halt to the chaos. And what's required to do it is the opposite of liberty. Okay, that's where I left off, and that's when I glanced down at this John Adams quote, and I started reading it, and I switched directions and went down this other trail or onto the next thought without completing the first one. Now, these people did what was right in their own eyes, and they lived without a king, and it's okay if they're God-fearing people and they can manage themselves. But what is our track record for that? Here's the rest of that point. So, since they did what was right in their own eyes and didn't need a king, wait a minute. How long did that last? About a week, right? They started adopting all this stuff that went against how God told them to live. They started walking away from him. They started doing evil. We have to have a government. And this was my point that I was trying to develop. We must have government. It's God instituted government for a reason, for our own good. And that's what even Romans chapter 13 says. It's there for our own good, to punish evil and to lift up those who do good. But the argument from those who are trying to paint out the extremist right-wing religious fanatics is that we're anti-government. We're not anti-government, and we want liberty. We want minimal government, and we want to make decisions for ourselves without government intervention. But we do need government. However, we've got to have a government that stays within the Constitution. And if we are not a religious and moral people, the government we choose is going to take us further and further away from God. We must have a nation of laws and a government that is in conformity with God's law. Otherwise, what we're headed for is the opposite of liberty. It is tyranny. Because what would be required? It was after these people God that required, as they become more and more evil, doing whatever was right in their own eyes, they got further and further away from God, and God had to step in and appoint judges over the people. Eventually, it turned into – that's how they ended up with a king, because eventually the people said, well, we want a king just like every other nation on earth. We want to be like them. And boy, did they get a king. There were some good kings that came along, but most of them, and some of the most evil, tyrannous leaders, were kings over the Israelites. Boy, they wanted a king. And our kings in this country are so far from God. And that's where they're taking our country. And we are going to go into bondage. And what we're facing, I believe, with this Muslim, not even an invasion, it's a surrender in Europe, and it's a recolonization that they're attempting in America. Supernaturally, we're being handed over to our enemy. This is called judgment. This is what I believe. All right, this is what I pray about this. I meditate on this and I try to make sense of this and I pray for discernment. And my discernment tells me we are headed for judgment because we're not repenting. This is not a ministry opportunity to bring all the Muslims into America so we can win them over and they'll become Christians. This is the beginning of our judgment. That means some bad stuff's coming down the line. Look, they kicked Jesus out of the schools, but they're teaching children how to sing the prayer, convert to Islam prayer. And we saw parents outraged, but did we see anything about the school district saying that person was way out of line? In fact, CARE, because the words were so in your face, even CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, said they stepped in and said, well, we just think that they probably could have chosen a different way of wording it. No, they're not opposed to Islam being spread in the schools, but that was not good for propaganda. So they should have worded it differently is what they meant. But when we do what's right in our own eyes without any guidance, we steer away from God. It didn't work out for them. It's not going to work out again. And for our libertarian friends that want no government. And see, there was a difference in our own government between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. They had this conversation. Many of them had this conversation. See, John Adams said, are you serious? People will gravitate toward evil without government control. Thomas Jefferson said, no, we need – every man needs to have full liberty. We should have no government or little government and let every man face the consequences of his own actions. Well, I fall in between the two. I fall in between John Adams. I would not want as much government control as John Adams argued for, but I think that Thomas Jefferson's total liberty, no government involvement whatsoever, well, it brings us to where we are today. In fact, now the government is infiltrated by a godless anti-Christian agenda. So we're not anti-government. We shouldn't be anti-government as patriots. We shouldn't be anarchists, but we should have a government in place, but it should be under very strict control. And here's the problem. There's nothing wrong with our Constitution. They just don't follow it. They've bent and twisted its meaning and its words to fit their agenda. So where does that leave us if we're facing judgment? If you go up against this recolonization of Islam into America, if we go against that, we're going against God's judgment. Well, it's a pretty dangerous place to be too. Or you could go up against it, but you just won't prevail. Personally, I believe that one of the concepts of the American Redoubt, obviously, is it's a fallback position. It's a defensible fallback, last stand. It's a place where the remnant gathers, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people moved, stirred, to strategically relocate to the American redoubt. God-fearing patriots saying, I don't know what there was in me, and I just kept being drawn to this. I've never thought I'd live in snow country or whatever they say. But then they just say, and I talked to my wife about it, and she's had the same thing on her heart, and we didn't even talk about it. It was just both of us felt the same strong pulling. I hear this over and over. I just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples of people, their various different testimonies being drawn to this inland Pacific Northwest region. So something's happening. Something is happening. Should we go against, should we stand against this Islamic recolonization? Yeah, of course. I believe that it's evil. And it's being injected into our culture and is antithetical to Christianity. It's antithetical to the Constitution. It goes against our Christian heritage. As patriots, I believe it's just nothing but pure, just dangerous. It's another element of bad stuff that we got to deal with. I mean, it's a whole, takes it to another level. Bring, you know, Islam in. Look at what's happening in Europe. They're screaming at America not to let it happen here because the consequences of allowing that to come in. And I really want to make sure that you guys grab onto, latch onto, and hold tight this concept. We were a Christian nation founded on Christian principles by God-fearing men and women. And we're being told that that's not the case, but who's telling us that? Those whose agenda is clearly anti-Christian. But see, it's creeping into the church and confusing believers. Either they don't believe that this was really a Christian nation, they fall for those lies, or that, well, you know, the Lord's in control, so whatever happens basically happens. I mean, we said we were told we'd be persecuted, and this is just what's supposed to happen. You're also supposed to occupy, and you're not. Israel didn't open up their arms and accept the Philistines in, the Perizzites, or the any of these, you know, because we're gonna spread the gospel and win them over. You're allowing a vowed enemy to come in and funding it and sponsoring it and throwing your arms wide open. And even in the church, people are being told, well, yeah, this is we should do this. We should help them. We should show compassion. And besides that, it is kind of, you know, monotheologic to, you know, say Christianity is the only nation that could be here. That's unconstitutional. I think the founding fathers of this country, all the way from the pilgrims, all the way through the founders of the birth of America, would argue with you on that. But they were a much higher caliber than what we have today. They were so much more educated on the word and politics, on all of this. We wish that they were here, but they're not. This is on us. So we have to use discernment. We have to know the truth. I want you guys, every week I've been trying to put out, last week I put up, we posted the a six-part series by the John Birch Society about the U.S. Constitution. We need to start educating ourselves. Get your face out of the TV and watching what the garbage from Hollywood is feeding you to keep you entertained about who can be the best chef or who's going to get voted off the island or who can be the best dancer. Get your face out of that stuff. Get your head where it needs to be. And start learning your heritage again. So this week, I'm assigning this video. It is by a pastor called Jack Hibbs. He's actually out of Southern California. I mean, occupied territory. He is a God-fearing, liberty-loving Christian patriot. He is the head pastor of Real Life in California, the Real Life Church. His name is Jack Hibbs, and the name of this video is called The Cost of Liberty. And it's very appropriate and it's timely because this week we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. We are going to be giving thanks and continuing the tradition that was started by those God-fearing pilgrims who landed to spread the gospel. You're going to learn some truths, and you're going to undo some lies that's been woven into the fabric of your psyche since many of you are children, and even since then, today. You're going to learn about your heritage. I want you to go watch this video. That's your assignment this week. Between now and Thanksgiving, you need to go. It's on YouTube. It's called The Cost of Liberty. And it's on the YouTube channel called Real Life Jack Hibbs, H-I-B-B-S. And we're going to post that on Radio Free Redoubt. It's going to be its own posting. Pauly01, code name, Pauly01 is going to get that all set up. And that will be a separate posting, and we'll also put a link in the highlights and resources posting for today's show. But this Islam argument, the refugee Islam, we should allow them in, is causing Christians to be confused. Because there's on one camp saying, no, this is hostile to our beliefs and our values and Americanism and the Constitution. No, we shouldn't let him in. Well, other people are saying, well, that's just not very Christ-like. We're supposed to show compassion. And Christians who are standing up against the Muslim recolonization are the kind of people that are just causing division, that we're supposed to have compassion. Now, I already covered this, and I want to encourage you guys to go into this in depth. I'm getting tired of talking about it, but it keeps coming up. So, look, we have to inculcate these ideas, right? We have to keep revisiting these themes to drive them home, keep reinforcing them. Go back to episode 1538 and 1539 on the Sunday evening podcast. They're uploaded. They're archived at radiofreeredoubt.com, and listen to those two podcasts where I really went into this in depth about this Muslim recolonization in America and this Muslim invasion and surrender that's happening in Europe. We are supposed to have compassion, but when you deliberately help support, bring in a group who has vowed to destroy you, who's vowed to replace the Constitution with Sharia law, who has vowed to dominate and occupy and spread Islam and boast that it will one day dominate the world. And it will topple everything that is Americanism and Christians with it. So if you continue bringing those people in, where's the compassion for your fellow countrymen who will pay the consequences, who will have to face the consequences of the effort to bring in somebody who has vowed to destroy us? That would be like Israel bringing in all the Philistines and setting them and paying for it and bringing them on because you're going to win them over. They're going to be Jews one day, right? How'd that work for them? How has this worked for Europe? What's going on in Europe right now? This is another thing that I talked about. The only Christian nation in Europe is Hungary. Even according to their constitution, they're clearly a Christian nation. They are the only nation who has sealed their borders and said, we're not taking Muslim refugees in because it will disrupt, it would alter our Christian nation, the foundations of our Christian nation. And all of Europe, which is unchurched, ungodly, as far from God as you can get, with in 100 years, they've gone from a 90% to a 3% church attendance. They are opening their borders wide open in the name of compassion, pointing their finger at Hungary for being unchristian-like. And who is getting burned to the ground, raped, pillaged, plundered, robbed? People beaten in the streets, with churches being disrupted by Muslims coming in and screaming like their European version of Black Lives Matter, coming into churches, chanting Allahu Akbar and disrupting church services, saying, we're here now, there's more of us now, we dominate, we rule, Allah is the only way. and where people are afraid to go into the streets. Girls are being told not to go to school unless they're driven to school. That's what's happening in the rest of Europe, who's screaming at Hungary for being unchristian-like, for not letting these people in. Isn't this amazing? What would Jesus do? That's what people are saying. Well, we should let him in. I mean, what would Jesus do? Well, what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing right now? His people in Hungary have sealed their borders and protected their borders to protect their Christian people. The people that are hostile toward Jesus are letting this Muslim invasion in and surrendering their countries to them, and we're seeing the consequences of that. So what is Jesus doing through his people right now? Well, maybe that's what we should be doing. If you let him in the name of compassion, that is the most uncompassionate thing that you can do to your fellow countrymen, knowing full well their intent. They've projected it. They've demonstrated it. They've announced it. What we are lacking in this country, in the church, is discernment. There is no discernment left. We're making the godless agendas arguments for them. That should clue you in. What are they pushing? What are they championing? Discernment. If you don't pray for anything else, pray for discernment. Then pray because of the confusion that's set in. And here's the thing. We're being accused of causing division. Now, this culture that is being escorted into the West, these people that are standing against it saying, whoa, this is hostile toward Christian values, Christian beliefs, toward our government, toward our constitution, toward our way of life, toward our heritage. No, stop it. And then they turn around like rabid dogs. Even Christians turn around and attack those for saying they're causing division. Those opposed to the colonization and the Islamization of the Western world, if you're opposed to it, you're causing division. By not supporting the thing that has brought more division to any country in centuries. What is more divisive to a nation founded on Christian principles than Islam? But you oppose it, and you're the one causing division. How does that work out? So you need to pray for discernment. You need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for courage to stand for truth and not budge. Even when they call you narrow-minded, thick-headed, unreasonable, unwilling to bend, there are some things that we just should not move on. We don't move. You plant firmly and you stand. You stand. You put on the full armor of God and you stand. You don't move. You don't budge. You don't let somebody sway you one way or the other. When you know something's the truth and somebody's just come along whispering, oh, you're supposed to have compassion. And you catch yourself starting to doubt. Now, I didn't even get a chance to get to the grid down stuff. And here I am not prepared. Doing the show, grid down. Oh, I don't have my stuff together. I've been swapping out batteries and fueling generators and hauling water and cooking on the wood cook stove and all the stuff that takes more work. I'm not prepared to do a show and I don't have enough material and I don't know. I'm going to cover it all. And here we are down to 3 minutes left. I sure appreciate you guys' prayers over me for protection and for courage. Just to continue to stand. And I want you guys to pray for the same thing for yourselves. Let me talk real quick, just in the last couple of minutes. This was a good test for us in the last 4 days now, being grid down. The power went out at 6 p.m. Tuesday night. And, of course, we heat exclusively with a wood stove. So it's just like throw another log on the fire, light a couple oil lamps on the hearth and on the wall, and it was great. We had water stored up, and just talk briefly about what we did. I have battery backup power, And I have a very small generator, which I'm running right now. It's a Yamaha 1000i. It's an inverter generator. It just sips power. Amazing. It's running my studio right now. Of course, everything I use is pretty much low power consumption. And then there were some lessons learned, though. I wish I could have time to go into them all. But the following morning, what a great experience this has been. I have another larger generator that's been sitting there meaning to go into the shop, and I hadn't done it. I keep dragging my feet, and guess what? Just like James Rawls said, just like our friend over in Conconoli this summer, the wildfires, I've been meaning to get this battery replaced in this bug out rig that I have, and I just didn't get around to it. And then here I am with this awesome bug out rig that I can't move because I never replaced the battery. So here I am with this Generac 3600 watt generator that's sitting there not being used because I dragged my feet and didn't get the repairs done to it that need to be done. I also have a battery backup power, a battery bank that is all the cables are built for it now. I've been working on this thing for a year and a half, but I don't have the venting because when you use batteries indoors, they put off harmful and explosive of gases. You have to vent that. And I don't have the vent system built for that yet. So that's sitting there not being used here in a real world grid down situation. I do have a couple of RV batteries, deep cycle batteries, and we've been running LED lights. And I'm going to put a posting up because I'm going to put pictures up and some links to some of the stuff that you folks have asked about. This 15-foot long LED light strip, it's on a wheel. It rolls up about the size of a CD. You can fit it in your pocket. It's 12 volt. And it puts out, I don't know how many lumens, but it just lights the whole place up. It's awesome. I'm going to put that posting together for you guys. But I didn't get a chance to go into detail on all of our preps and everything. But I want to get that information out to you. I'm going to put up a separate posting. And I want you guys to join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for Radio Free Readout, our weekly podcast. And I'm out of time, guys. God bless all of you. Stay safe, stay warm, and may the Lord go with you. This is John Jacob Schmidt out.